Welcome back to Risky Business. This is episode 5. Tell the people what we're doing.
So we got college football week 3 already. Time is flying by. And NFL week 2. College football week 3 is always a lighter week. Not as many marquee matchups, but there's plenty of good value out on the market for betting. So we'll give you all of that. And the NFL, the good news is the games are always competitive. The games are always close, so you don't have to worry about that. Lots of good plays for you this week. We are recording this on September 11th, 2024. And please remember to always gamble responsibly. All right, let's recap last week in the betting world. I went 4-2 on the week. D with a 2-4. Our overall record for me, 7-3, and 4-7 for D. Had a lot of good games last week. A lot of good football on the TV. Iowa State scared me a bit. They got down 13-0 to Iowa. Wasn't looking too good, but they had a nice comeback and actually won straight up, which is great. Temple's offense does indeed suck. They only put up, I think, 11. I can't remember what they put up.
What was it? We looked at one point, it was 31-3 or something.
Yeah, maybe it was 10. Maybe they put up 10, but the under hit, which was great. The play of the week, though, I think was your Army Black Knights.
Yeah, the line was +4. I thought they were a physical team. Obviously, I watched the whole game of them ruining my Lehigh bet. And FAU played a bad MSU team, and Army showed it, and they just straight up dominated them. So, yeah, shout out to my Black Knights for getting it done. Maybe I'll keep riding with them. I don't think I am this week. I don't even think they're playing this week.
They're on a bye. Yeah, well, they just won. They were like, what'd you say, 4.5-point dogs?
Yeah.
And they won straight up. And they won by a lot,
they
too.
Dominated. Yeah,
they won by double digits, which is so the book was way off there. Good read by you. The easiest bet of the whole day, though, was Colorado. That was nice. We both were on that. Colorado was 7.5-point underdogs.
I think the biggest help is the nation's high on Deion in Colorado. And anybody with a brain knows that Nebraska, how hard it is to win in Nebraska, especially at night, and how hungry that team is. It was one of the easiest reads we've had.
Yeah, I was extremely confident, and when Shadur threw that pick six, I was like, yep, GG. So that was good. Now, the NFL was a little bit of a different story, a little rough there. The only NFL bet that I hit was the Falcons-Steelers game. I had the Steelers to cover, and they won straight up. That Falcons O-line is awful, and Kirk Cousins looks like a statue. I mean, he did not look good to the eye test. I drafted him in fantasy, so that is pretty concerning there. I thought he was going to be a lot better than what he showed on Sunday, but that was kind of rough. So Falcons, I'm kind of fading them, but anyway, the Giants was another game. That was my worst read of the week. Holy cow, are the Giants bad. I thought they had a chance to make it gross against the Vikings, and they just got dominated. What was the other one?
Yes, I want to say Sam Darnold. No, Daniel Jones is horrid. Yeah. He's horrendous. Against a bad defense, he looked awful.
Yeah, that's not a great Vikings team, but they made him look like world beaters. This bet was down bad. This was an all-time bad beat that we've ever had in our couple of years of betting. So, we were both on the Titans to cover, I think like 3.5, I think the line was, against the Bears. And they got up 17-0, took a 17-3 lead into half, and somehow did not cover.
And they didn't give up a touchdown.
Correct. So here's your wild stat to prove it was a bad beat. So teams trailing by 2 or more scores at halftime who failed to score an offensive touchdown all game, the Bears, had been 2-306. Since 2000. They are now 3-306. Like,
we should have known that every 100, it happens. We should have looked into that. That's on us.
Yeah, you got the Bears getting a punt block for a TUD a pick six for a TUD, and Caleb Williams throwing for 93 yards. And that's why betting's hard. Betting's just straight up hard. You can have the right read. We were 100% right. Caleb Williams was going to struggle. It was going to be a gross game. Titans are a little better than you think. And weird stuff happens and you lose the bet.
Yeah. I had low-key two awful beats in the NFL this week. Obviously that one. And then the Texans I had, I looked back, I thought it was three. I had a minus 2.5, and they won by 2 against the Colts. And that was just, I mean, we're talking just the smallest, slimmest of margins for these games. But that's NFL. It's tough, but overall the records aren't anything atrocious yet.
It's the first week of the NFL. It's hard to bet week one. You don't really know stuff about teams.
Yeah, we're hanging around, though. We're going to be, like, I feel good about our plays this week. So we're going to be good. We're going to be getting back on track here. No more bad beats. We've already gotten them all out of the way, and it's only week two of the NFL.
That's true. It's up and up from here. So let's get into it. Let's run college first. Saturday at noon, probably the biggest game of the day, or the most intriguing game of the day.
Yeah, it would have been anticipated. I wouldn't call it the biggest.
Yeah. This would have been the biggest game 2.5-3 years ago. But we got Alabama at Wisconsin. Alabama's laying 16 on the road in Madison. Total set at 51. Well, what do you think on this one?
I'm not going to play it. But if I had to bet it, I would take Alabama to cover. Wisconsin's not good. Alabama played bad football and still covered last game, I'm pretty sure. So the only advantage is jump around at Wisconsin, and I just don't think Luke Fickell's that good of a coach.
Yeah, I think they played jump around after the end of the third quarter.
It'll be over by
then. I'll be curious to see how many fans are there at the end of the third quarter. I think this is going to... I'm not going to play this game either because that's just too many points to bet on the road. But golly, I think it's going to be a beatdown. I just don't see how Wisconsin can keep pace. Nobody on Wisconsin's offense scares you from the skill position standpoint. The quarterback's pretty horrendous. And they're not Wisconsin anymore. They don't line up and run and beat you down. They have an identity crisis. I don't like what Wisconsin's doing, so I'm staying away from this one.
Yeah, and the other only thing is, this is like Kalen DeBoer's first road test, right? With Alabama?
Yes.
So that's the other factor for if you want to talk yourself into a Wisconsin cover, but I don't think that's much of a talk. I'm going to stay away, but yeah, that game in Madison will not be pretty.
I don't think so. Let's go to Ann Arbor. Arkansas State rolling to town. Michigan's a 22.5-point favorite right now. The total set at 45.5, so super low. Any thoughts on this one?
I have watched 2 weeks of Michigan football, and I still don't know what they are, so... No thoughts. Michigan will win the game. I don't think it'll be particularly close. I just don't know if they'll cover.
22.5 points is a lot of points to lay with an offense that we've had to watch the first 2 weeks.
I can't imagine Arkansas State puts up more than 3 points. So I like what you have here about the under.
Yeah, if I was going to be forced to play this one, I'd probably take the under just because... You know, Arkansas State's going to score a max of 7, and I don't think Michigan's offense is putting up 35 on their own.
Yeah.
You know, it would take a defensive score or a special team score, something weird, to hit the over, I think. But it's just, we're just going to watch that one.
Are you, you're not taking it either? You're going to watch it, said?
Just going to watch it.
Okay. So obviously we'll always break down Michigan because they're our team every week. Neither of us have a read on what Michigan is yet. Why don't we hit one of your plays, though, that you have written down, your next noon game.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about this one. We got Oklahoma State traveling to in-state team, Tulsa. Oklahoma State is an 18.5-point favorite here on the road. The total's at 62.5. Oklahoma State, if you haven't been following them so far this year, they won an overtime game against Arkansas last week. It was a really crazy game. Oklahoma State essentially lost just about in every way in the box score possible, except on the final score. They've not played particularly well the first 2 weeks, but they're somehow 2-0. Ollie Gordon, their super good running back, has not looked super effective so far. I'm looking ahead at the schedule for Oklahoma State, and they have their biggest game of the season. They host Utah next week. So I think this is a really sleepy noon kickoff here on the road at Tulsa. Not going to be a raucous environment. Going to be just ho-hum. Oklahoma State's not going to be up for this game. Tulsa's going to be excited for it. I'm going to take a first-half cover here by Tulsa at 10.5. I just think Oklahoma State could kind of sleepwalk through the first half, have it be close, and then turn it on in the second half. So I don't really want to mess with anything full game or second half, but I'm happy to take a first half cover.
Right on. Yeah, that it's still early in the season, and like you said, we don't know what these teams are. Like a couple plays from now, I got a team that I still don't know what they are, but from what we've seen in 2 weeks, you kind of got to just take the teams that some would deem lesser to stay close, when in other years you wouldn't even say that Tulsa would ever be close to Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a play I really like for this week. But, yeah, you can do with what you will there with that game. So, next one up, tell us about
from Boston College. Weird kickoff, 12:45 on SEC Network. Bill O'Brien rolling into Mizzou. I like Boston College to cover. It actually has moved to, let me check at the bottom here. I didn't write it at the top. 16.5. It was 17, so a half point does suck losing that. But I am going to take Boston College plus 16, minus 110 odds at Mizzou. Brady Cook's decent. He's actually one of the few quarterbacks, it seems, that's actually been at Missouri for his whole career.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys that was a true freshman. And Missouri's good, but, you know, I need to see it from Missouri. Boston College has already, quote, beat a top 10 team. No, I don't think Florida State's actually a top 10 team, but it is hard to go into Florida State and win like they did, and they kind of dominated that whole game physically. They're a physical team. People are going to talk about the SEC and their physicality. I think Boston College will match that a little bit, and 16.5 is a lot to lose by, especially when I like Castellanos at quarterback. So give me Boston College.
Yeah, the quarterback's fun for Boston College. I think with his legs and his scrambling ability, I think he'll be able to convert some third downs that you wouldn't normally be able to with a guy who's not mobile. I like this play here. I just wish you could have gotten it at 17 instead of 6. What did you get it at, 16?
16.5.
16.5, yeah. That's a key number that it passed over, but
but all the bad beats are gone.
Yeah, so my advice to the listeners would be wait on this game and see if it comes back to 17 and then hit Boston College. See if you can get that number back up to 17. But I still dig the play at 16.5.
Let's move to the 3:30 slot. Let's do Nevada, Minnesota. Break it down.
Alrighty, Nevada is traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota's 16.5 point favorites. The total at this one is set at 43.5. Pretty low total. Minnesota plays super slow. We're very familiar with Minnesota. We know they like to run the ball. They like to play slow, control the clock, have possession. We know Minnesota's not explosive. They're typical Minnesota. And Nevada is actually kind of a Walmart version of Minnesota. They are playing at an extremely slow pace this year. They're running the football, and their defense is much improved from a year ago. So I think their defense is going to be good enough to hold them in check. I think Minnesota's defense is going to be just swallowing them up. I don't see Nevada putting up more than 10. So it's just how much is Minnesota going to score. Hopefully they don't score more than 30, and we'll be good. So, yeah, I'm going to take the under here.
43.5. This thought just popped into my head. Is PJ Fleck Tom Allen 2.0?
Just a lot younger version, but yeah.
I think they're both just horrid football coaches. Just they're super big energy, super quirky, and their teams always just every year. Minnesota's been gross for a decade, it feels like.
PJ Fleck's message would get really dull on your ears after a while. Yeah. With the whole rah-rah energy, you know, and it leads to no wins and no success.
It's kind of like you expect coaches to change when it's not working. Like Harbaugh used to, when Harbaugh got to Michigan, he was animated over everything, always getting flags from refs throwing things. Yep. And then he changed to a calm, like, demeanor, and eventually, you know, turned super happy, and we don't know why, but, like, he changed the way he coached, like PJ Fleck, year after year. Anyway, there's my side note. If I played it, I would take Nevada to cover 16.5, but I am already doing another one, so I am not going to touch Minnesota, but I do like that under. The other 3:30 game, this is a big-time rivalry game. Out in Corvallis, that's the Beavs. I know their conference has left them. The teams in their conference has left them. But the rivalry has not. Oregon is traveling there. Oregon has not looked good this year against two, some would say, lesser opponents for sure. What was it? Idaho, then Boise State?
Yes.
They've not looked good. And they're supposed to be a top five team this year.
Yeah, a lot of people picked them to win the Big Ten. You know,
some pick them to, you know, make a run in that playoff. So yeah, that I'm getting it at Oregon State plus 16.5. The odds are minus 112. Big rivalry game. Until I see Oregon actually cover, I'm not gonna be taking Oregon. They just have looked like, they've come out way too flat in two straight games. Now, I understand, like, they dropped the football at the goal line last week, which has happened to Oregon multiple times, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right.
In my lifetime.
Yep.
But they're just, like, that stuff like that is so sloppy. You don't see that on a professionally coached team.
No.
So I don't know if Lanning's, like,
I think Dan Lanning is a good coach, that's too. I don't understand why they're not performing. I don't get it.
Yeah, at some point, I'm not even close to saying he's not a good coach, but at some point, you know, stuff does start to fall back. Like, I feel like they're a more talented team, or just as talented as Washington last year, and Dan Lanning couldn't get over that hump. Here we are having a slow, sluggish start when this is your first year in the Big Ten. You've been talking a big talk, and you've looked flat for 2 weeks. So it could be a get right. I could totally get burned, and they can win by 30. But I'm taking the Beavs at home, big rivalry game, plus 16.5.
The old Civil War. Yeah,
and they don't have DJU to bog them down this year.
Yeah, this is always a gross game. You know, Oregon State always gets up for this game. They always play it close. They're feisty. Yeah, I feel like this is either going to be a 3-point game, Oregon sneaks it out, or Oregon's going to win by 40. You know, there's no in between with this game.
Also, this is Oregon State's Super Bowl. Like, Oregon has 1,000 different aspirations. You can see it's on their mind. Win the Big Ten, beat these teams in the Big Ten, make it to the playoff, make a run in the playoff. Oregon State, the only thing on their mind is ruin that Ducks' stupid day.
Also, Oregon State's pissed. Oregon broke up with them.
Yeah.
They left the conference. They're having
they're scared of them.
Yeah, they're salty that they left the conference, so you know they'd love nothing more than to beat them one more time. So,
all right, so that's my last 16-plus point cover.
Yeah, you love the number 16.5 this week. Let's move to the night slate. Georgia at Kentucky. Georgia is 24-point favorites on the road. The total is set at 45, which is I find that to be a very low total. So what I'm going to do in this game is I'm going to take the Georgia team total points over 34.5 at -110. I don't know. Kentucky's a really weird team. They were favored last week, and they went out and laid an egg against South Carolina and lost 31-6, and they were favored. So I think Kentucky's a really bad team, and that's why I'm not going to mess with the total for both teams in this game, is because Kentucky could really go out there and score 3 points and just lay an absolute egg and do nothing, and Georgia could get up 37-3 and just pack it up and quit. They don't need to. They're Georgia. They don't need to show anyone how good they are. They know they're good. That's why I don't trust Kentucky, so I'm just going to play the team that I know what Georgia is. They're elite offensively and defensively. They're going to smother Kentucky. Their defense is probably going to force some turnovers and set up some short fields for Carson Beck. The only thing to watch in this game is the weather. It's calling for some rain, calling for some sloppy conditions. But I just think field technology and the fields these days are so good that, you know, it's not like it was 30 years ago where you're going to be playing through mud puddles and everything if there's a little rain. So keep an eye on the weather, but I'm going to take Georgia over 34.5 points. I think I just see them scoring like 37 in this game. I don't think a world exists where they don't do that. Kentucky's not a good team. So that's my play there.
Yeah, the number one team in the country is number one for a reason. Texas got a few first place votes, but Georgia has the majority, and they're going to show you why in another primetime game. Don't know why that's on primetime. Maybe they're trying to give Kentucky hope. But let's look at our last college football play. We didn't have any of the same games this week. Nope. Our last college football play. I would not have done this 2 years ago, last year, 8 years ago, probably ever in my life. But here I am. I'm going to take Indiana. They're laying 3 on the road at UCLA, 7:30 at night. Now, I know what you're thinking. West Coast, Big Ten East does not travel well to the West. Indiana's not good. Yada, 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 yada. UCLA's played one game. They're coming off a bye week already. But their one game, they traveled to Hawaii and beat Hawaii by 3 points.
And they were losing in that game.
It was ugly.
It was a comeback, I believe.
Indiana has played FIU in Western Illinois. World beaters, I know. But they have beaten those teams by a combined score of 108-10.
108-10.
They've given up 7 points and 3 points. They've scored 31 and 77.
That's got to be a record for Indiana, right? 77. I think so.
Their new coach, now, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's Kurt. How do you say his last name?
Cignetti?
That's what I figure, but it's probably completely wrong. He came in the Big Ten. He said, I'm going to be challenging Ohio State and Michigan. Now, I don't think he's doing that this year, but he looks like he's cracking the whip and running a halfway decent program in Indiana. 77's a lot of points. 77's hard to fluke.
Yeah. You're saying he's a better coach than Tom Allen?
Certainly. Indiana might come out and win by a couple scores, and I love that I'm getting it only at 3. Obviously, the only thing holding me back is the fact that they're traveling all the way out west, but it's not like an early start. So that's what favors me, I feel like. UCLA doesn't have a home field advantage.
No, there might be more Indiana fans there.
There might be. It might be a half-empty stadium, which is advantage Indiana. So I am taking Indiana to cover -3. The odds are -112.
Yeah, like I think Indiana's the much better team, but it's just scary taking a Big Ten team on the road there on the West Coast. But maybe Indiana will be better this year. So we'll see if Kurt's got the boys buzzing.
I'm just now realizing I didn't even touch my Northwestern Cats.
Who do they play this week?
Eastern Illinois.
Are they probably favored by like 4?
Yeah. They lost to Duke in double overtime, by the way.
I saw that.
I didn't watch last week, so that's why I didn't touch it. Okay, let's...
So, kind of a... It's week three in college football. This is probably the worst week of college football.
It's always a down week. Yeah. It is always a down week. And then week four, you start to get those conference rivalries.
Yeah. So it's going to get... The matchups are going to get better, but that doesn't mean there's not value in the sloppy games in college football. So, let's go to the NFL, though. Let's start off with the hometown Detroit Lions. They host the Bucks at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Lions fans aren't going to have to stay up till 2 in the morning to watch their game this week. You've got a play on this one, though. Let's roll through it.
Yeah, so Bucks look dang good, and I know they played the Commanders, but Baker was slinging the ball around. I'm pretty sure they got Jaden McMillan from Washington.
Yeah, did you see... By the way, pause. Did you see he did... He scored a touchdown over Mike Samardzija, and he hit him with the OHIO.
He hit him with the Marvin Harrison pull it down OH, which is hilarious because he couldn't score a touchdown against Michigan.
Yeah, it's hilarious on a lot of levels. Marvin never beat Michigan. McMillan lost to Michigan in the national championship. And McMillan never went to Ohio State. So I don't really see his angle there. Good for him that he scored a tud, but...
And Saren still's on an awful team. Mikey
that defense
was,
is bad.
Mikey was extremely good at Michigan. So let's remind McMillan, who had a near pick six in the national championship. Anyway, congrats. No, I don't even want to pick the Bucks. Thanks for reminding me. Anyway, he's on that team. Obviously, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. The Bucks are healthy right now. Baker, when he's well protected, he can sling it with the best of them at times. You know, it's when he starts to have to run and make decisions that he kind of loses his mind a little. The Bucks are the same thing as the Rams. They're coming in mad about the playoff loss last year. The Lions, yeah, they didn't look all that great. You know, if you have Super Bowl aspirations, you got to come out firing like the Niners did against the Jets, and the Lions did not take that by storm. And even more concerning, they couldn't get Laporta or Ra-Ra going. Now I don't see the Lions losing, but I could see the Bucks covering plus seven. Seven is a lot in the NFL.
Seven is a very big number. Didn't that go to 7.5? Did that jump to check the live?
Yes, it did. It did. 7.5 at 115, so I even get them inside of a touchdown, and it's a 1 o'clock game, like you said. It's a 1 o'clock game. It's nothing prime time. Yeah. Baker can shine. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I feel like 7.5. It's either take the Bucks to cover or you stay away. The Lions did get significantly better in the offseason. You know, because I'm thinking back to the playoff game when they played. I think the Lions were 4.5-point favorites in that playoff game.
Yeah.
The Lions did get better. They added some pieces, whereas the Bucks, you could say, almost got worse with losing Dave Canales, that coach. But Baker looked fine without him last week, so 7.5 is... I feel like this line should be at 6.5. But what do we know? So,
is DJ Reader back? Is that why it bumped?
He is playing this week, I believe, or he's supposed to.
Maybe that's why it bumped a half point.
But let's move on to the game of the week. We will be at this game live from Lambeau Field. Colts at Packers. Now, unfortunately, this one has taken a complete turn for the worse with Jordan Love getting injured, being out a couple weeks. So we're traveling to Green Bay, and we're going to get to watch Malik Willis. So that's brutal, but still going to be a good time.
Hey, we're watching an old rivalry from last year. Titans, Colts, Malik Willis, and Anthony Richardson. Actually, Richardson didn't even play last year. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, that sucks. We spent some decent money to watch these boys, and to go to Lambeau, you want to have a really fun, good game. One of our teams will be 0-2, including one of our fantasy teams will be 0-2 because we're playing each other in football and fantasy football. So this is just... One of us is going to be pissed, and hopefully it splits.
Yeah.
Hopefully our NFL team wins and our fantasy team loses, kind of deal.
Yeah, I'm gonna hate you if I lose both.
Yeah, especially considering what I did last week in fantasy. Anyway, I don't have a play for it, though.
So the line.
The Colts looked bad at stopping the run, and if the Packers utilize Josh Jacobs, they'll be fine. The only problem is, I don't trust LaFleur to actually use Josh Jacobs when necessary.
I don't trust LaFleur to run Josh Jacobs, and last week the Packers, I know it's a good Philly D line, but the line really struggled to make any holes for Josh Jacobs. When they did make holes, he did use them, but the line was not getting it done last week. So the spread on this game went from Packers by 3.5 to Colts by 3. So the Love injury moved the line completely in reverse, which is really interesting. So if you bet the Packers a couple weeks ago, you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's a definite stay away, though.
Hit us with the last 1 o'clock game.
All right. Jets at Titans. We saw the Jets play on Monday night. Didn't look really good, but I think that's more a testament to the Niners, more so than a bash on the Jets. So the Jets are 3.5-point favorites on the road. I think I'm going to take the Jets to cover this game. I think this is a bounce-back spot. If you're going to try and win the division and make the playoffs and actually have a good year, you go in and you beat the Titans by more than 4 points. The Titans are an awful, awful, brain-dead. Will Levis is brain-dead. I mean, how he screwed us last week with that pick six from his knees was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So I'll bet against that man all day long. He's not a good quarterback. I think the Jets defense, they were just on their heels against the Niners. The Niners were doing whatever they wanted because of that Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. So I think the Jets defense gets right. I think they force some turnovers. Rodgers takes advantage. And Rodgers looked fine. I would say, you know, you compare him to Kirk Cousins, like mobility-wise, eye test-wise. I thought Rodgers looked fine coming off that Achilles injury. He never beat San Fran. I can tell you that from my Green Bay days. But I thought he looked fine. So fine enough to where I'm gonna take the Jets to cover.
I almost am considering the under now because I just don't see a ton of offense being produced.
Set at 42. Pretty low total.
I don't think I'm going to do it, but that's very... If you were to take it, I'd probably take the under. Neither of these teams' offense are off and running yet.
Yeah.
One of them won't even get up and running this year, but I'll let you be the determiner of who.
Yeah, the under would definitely be the play here if I was doing a total, but I think I'm going to take the Jets to cover. So, enough said about that gross game. This is talk about a more interesting game here on Sunday.
Okay. I was a lot more excited for this game 2 weeks ago.
Do you want to revisit your Bengals for the number one seed in the AFC?
I'll revisit it if you revisit Jordan Love to be the passing leader. No. Yeah,
that's not happening. Update.
I'm the Bengals Chiefs 425 game of the week. Is it on Fox or CBS?
I'm not sure.
Oh, this is always on CBS. Tony Romo will be there.
Tony Romo will ruin the game.
Yeah. Bengals plus 5. It's actually moved a point from yesterday. It was at 6. Odds are minus 112. So that tells me the people are taking the Bengals to do better. What you saw last week is not the Bengals. The Chiefs are coming off a, not an emotional win, but a very hard fought, sweated out to the very last play game against the Ravens. Joe Burrow always plays well in Arrowhead. It's Burrowhead for a reason. And I think it's a get right game for the Bengals. They're not starting 0-2 again, right? Even if they do, it'll be within 5 points. So I'm taking the Bengals plus 5, minus 112. That was the worst game we'll see the Bengals play all year last week.
This is an awful little big line for a team that's had the Chiefs number the last couple of years. For whatever reason, the matchup they just match up well against the Chiefs, and they always give them a hard time. They, I mean, what's their record against them the last couple of years? They have to have a positive record against them.
I think so, like 2-1 or something.
Yeah, so if you're giving them 5-6 points, I think that would be the side I lean. Especially, like, you're talking an emotional win. I mean, the Chiefs were literally a toe away from that game going to overtime and potentially losing. So,
yeah,
about as close as it can get.
Yeah, it wasn't even going to be overtime. John was going for two. He already held up the two. So it was going to be a win or lose right there.
Was he really?
Yeah, he held up the two.
I respect that. That's what I would have done probably as a coach.
So that was a... that Chiefs coming off an emotional high. Bengals, I think they were just looking ahead to the Chiefs. Nobody took the Patriots seriously. And you can't do that in the NFL. That goes to prove it. Before we do... Yeah, I guess let's do Sunday night. Another one of my plays. My last play of the weekend. As Kerry Carpenter rips another ball down the line. He's 3 for 3 today. This is phenomenal.
Kerry is so good.
We're recording during the Tigers game on Wednesday night. Last play, and this has moved in my direction, favor in my direction. Bears at Texans. It's moved from 6.5, Texans by 6.5, to Texans lane 6. Let me tell you. The Bears are they're not good at football. They're not good at football. The Texans, the Colts played a really good game and had a lot of long touchdowns just to stay close. This is the home opener for the Texans. Texans have AFC championship aspirations. They got better. They got Diggs. They got Mixon. Mixon coming off a career game against the Colts. I'm telling you, the Texans are winning this game by 10 against the Bears. Like, Caleb Williams, if you thought he had a bad first week at home, him going on the road, I don't think it. Now, the Texans, they don't have a huge home field advantage, but they're going to humble them. They're going to humble the Bears. The Bears should not be 1-0, and their record's going to reflect it. It's going to be 1-1. It's going to be ugly.
There's no way the Bears hurt us 2 weeks in a row, right?
They're not hurting me. I'm telling you, all my bad beats are out of the way. I'm chilling. I'm going 6-0 this week.
Yeah, I like you getting them at 6. I think they for sure win by at least a touchdown. And it's a decent. That place is gonna be packed. It's gonna be loud. It's a dome.
Home opener. This team won a playoff game last year. They're gonna be, you know, excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the Bears are any good. They got very fortunate, as we talked about earlier.
There's a reason they had the number one pick in the draft, right?
Exactly. All right. My last couple plays of the week include a double play for Monday Night Football. We've got a good game, Falcons at Eagles. Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. So I'm going to take the Eagles to cover here. And I'm also going to take the under in this game at 47. So I watched a good amount of that Falcons-Steelers game. And as I kind of already alluded to, that Falcons O-line is porous. TJ Watt was in the backfield strip sacking Kirk Cousins like every other play, it felt like. The Eagles have a similarly, they don't have that elite star that the Steelers do in TJ Watt, but they've got just depth. They're just going to roll amazing D linemen out that entire game and keep them fresh. And I just see Kirk Cousins running for his life most of the game, and you can't run very far on a repaired Achilles. So I see it getting sloppy. I feel like the Falcons aren't going to score much at all. I feel like the Eagles win this by double digits, kind of how you see the Texans and the Bears. I see Eagles winning by double digits, and I see it not. I feel like the Eagles will score like 27 and Falcons 13 type thing. And the under hits as well.
Young Wing Koo with two field goals, you're saying?
Yeah, I just don't see a lot of points for the Falcons.
This would totally be different if it was in Atlanta.
Yes, especially being at Philly, out in the open air. Kirk Cousins has always been better in a dome.
And it's Monday night, Kirk. That's just a good call by you.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, he can't win on Monday night. So Falcons are cooked. They're actually going to start out 0-2, which is kind of wild to think about. We were both decently high on the Falcons, but after watching them in week 1, it's like they didn't pass the eye test.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could keep them close is Jalen Hurts kind of threw a lot of – I mean, he had three turnovers. Now, one of them wasn't his fault on the fumble, but the Eagles did kind of still seem sloppy against the Packers. Now, obviously, the Packers are a better team than the Falcons, but they're coming home from Brazil. You know, they did get a longer weekend by 2 days, but I think you're right. I think the Eagles will be ready for Monday Night Football, and Hurts coming off those turnovers, he might just be sharp on Monday night. So,
The Eagles, they started really slow against the Packers, had two turnovers on their first two possessions, looked really sloppy. But you could fast forward past those two turnovers, they were pretty dang good the rest of the game. And I feel like that's just going to carry over into Monday night. So that's my thoughts on that game. So a double play for Monday Night Football.
The under at 47, the cover at 6.5. So yeah, win by a touchdown. I hope so, because my fantasy team's the Eagles. Hopefully they take Kirk to town on my defense.
Yeah, I've actually had the thought of benching Kirk this week. I don't know who I'm going to play instead of him, but that thought has crossed my mind.
That's hilarious. Okay, let's wrap up our plays for the week, and we'll just kind of go over what we selected. You can go ahead.
So I'm playing six games this week, just like last week, three college, three pro. We got Oklahoma State at Tulsa. I'm taking the Tulsa first half cover at 10.5 at -102. Nevada and Minnesota, give me the under at 43.5 at -108. I'm going to take Georgia's team total points over 34.5 at -110. Hopefully it doesn't rain. The Jets at the Titans, give me the Jets to cover -3.5 at -108 odds. And then Monday Night Football, you got the Eagles covering 6.5-point spread, -115. And the under to hit at 47 at -108.
All right. In college, I have 2 16.5-point spreads, Boston College to cover at Missouri, Oregon State to cover against Oregon at home. This might come back to bite me. This is 2 top 10 teams. No, it's not. No bad beats. Indiana at UCLA. I'm taking Indiana to lay 3 against the Bruins, who had to introduce where they were located. Hopefully Indiana can find the stadium. The Bucks +7.5 at the Lions. I forgot that moved. We already talked about that.
Yeah. Yep.
Helps me a lot. +7.5. Baker's going to be sharp. Bengals at Chiefs, Bengals +5 on the road, and then Texans at home, donking one of the worst teams in football, who just beat another team who's horrible at football. So, those are our plays. A little bit longer of an episode, but we had a lot of games to cover, so thank you as always for tuning in, and hopefully we report next week with a 12-0 record, but until then, remember to gamble responsibly, and everybody have a good week.